Well, that's a year in review, and we've been blessed, haven't we? I'm very grateful and thankful for all the things the Lord has done this year. And really, just think about it. We have a clown ministry that started up this year. There's been a lot of evangelism that took place. We had a summer children's club with over 90 kids. We've had summer missions. Our folks went to Mexico this year and ministered to hundreds. Along with that, we've had, Alan, how many trips have you been on this year? Four missions, short-term mission trips. Went with E3, traveled with Lyle, E3 Ministries. They're planting churches. And along with that, our missionaries are laboring. That we support. So this little church has done a lot this year. It's been amazing what God has done through one little church body in Central Texas. And it's all because of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And it's the unity that is found within the body of Christ when there are determined people that want to love and serve Him. And so we wanted to give you a review and just thank the Lord for these things. And I want to take a few moments now in God's Word. But before I do, it's just wonderful to see Randy and Beverly back. They slipped in on the back row. They were a little bit late this morning. Some of you might not have seen them, but we're glad to have you back. Emily's here and home from on break on college there, and it's delightful to have you in the service, and hope you had a wonderful Christmas with all the crew gathering around, and it's good to see you, to all our visitors as well. Let's open our Bibles and want to take just a few moments to reflect upon the year, just like what we just did, but to think about a few things, and I know that I've taken this theme up, and maybe you're thinking that it's, well, haven't we kind of exhausted this? But I don't think so. I want to give you some reasons this morning that we're to remember our year with thanksgiving as we consider the end of the year review. And here's a truth. This is just the general principle. A thankful people are spiritually healthy people. It's an attitude and a perspective on life that God intends for us to have. And we will either grumble in fear or we will rejoice in trust, one or the other. We can walk in faith and carry on, or we can grumble in fear. And there's a danger in fear. There's a danger in grumbling because it propels you into the area of unbelief. And we've seen it over and over in Scripture, but I think sometimes we miss the prescription that God gives to His people that is necessary for us to grow in thankfulness. It's necessary for us to learn to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in all things to give thanks. There are so many commands in Scripture, and there are so many ties to the need for thankfulness. And so, personally, I've just had a real desire to develop this in my life. I want to be thankful to the Lord for His goodness. I want to go through life with some grace. And in order to do that, it requires that we look at things, as we talked about last week, I think, as we mount up with wings like eagles, as we look at life through the grid of Scripture and from God's Word, it changes our perspective and our perception of things because we begin to work through the struggles and the difficulties of life, the troubles of life, and we began to see things in terms of the eternal. And what the eternal has for us as God's people is pretty exciting because even though we may be ignored here, the realities are that God's Word says that when He appears, we shall be like Him. and that we actually have been given roles as God's children and a place in eternity with Him that is quite exciting and something very much that we should not only look forward to, but learn to invest in as God's people. Learn to lay up those treasures in heaven. And if we believe, if we have faith, if we're looking at life from that perception, from that perspective, then we invest our lives, we invest our time, we invest our energies in certain ways. And proof of that was certainly given in our PowerPoint presentation here. Sometimes I often think of some of our folks and some of the things that you do service-wise, and really that no one knows except the Lord, and everyone benefits from here as a church body because of your service. You realize that this person, this individual, does these things because they love the Lord. Because everything around here is volunteer, except for my position. I have a paid position here. But every bit of work, all of the ministry that took place in this church this past year, you think about it, was done by people that love God and that care about others and that care about Grace Bible Church and invested their time because they have a certain perspective on life, a certain reality of the things that God is doing in the overall and the big perspective. You can't do it without faith. There's a faith that initiates what takes place in the hearts of God's people when they serve. And so I have some reasons here that we want to look at. Reasons were to remember our year with Thanksgiving and to consider the principle of Thanksgiving, God's Word. Number one, our work testifies of our election or calling or the calling of God, okay? I'm going to take you back because we've been studying and doing our exposition in 1 Thessalonians. So go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 because Paul has something to say in regard to our work here and the work of the Thessalonians. And there's a principle here that we learned earlier that I just wanted not to go back over the whole few verses there that we would turn to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 5 is where I'm going to look. So, but there's some great principles here. And let's read that together. I'll read out loud. You follow along. But let's see. I got to get in the right book here. Here we go. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, His choice or choosing, the words election of you, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. Okay, we'll stop there because that makes the point that I want to make in these verses. First of all, the Apostle Paul is giving thanks to these persecuted believers in Thessalonica, and he was making mention of them in prayers, and then he speaks about what they were giving thanks for. And he says, we were bearing in mind the work of your faith, and the labor of love and your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of the Father. Have you ever thought of it like that? Paul wanted them to think of it in that way. Your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope, and especially for these guys because they were undergoing persecution and times of difficulty. These things that were manifested in your lives, the Apostle Paul says that we were knowing, brethren, beloved of God, His choice of you. You say, well, Again, when you're persecuted, often what are the first things that we do? We go and we say, well, God, why are these bad things happening to me? What did I do? And what can I do to get out of this mess that I'm in and these problems that I have? But Paul has a different perspective. He's saying this work of faith and labor of love in the midst of these trials and difficulties and just life, this has given evidence of God's calling for your life, His choosing you for His purposes. So what does that mean? It means that when things like what we just viewed that take place through the year, that work of faith and that labor of love, as people voluntarily gathered and got here, the people painted this room and cleaned up next door, and it looks great around here. You've done a tremendous job. And we're very thankful, but that's all of these things are a work of faith and a labor of love. And the walk in the Christian life, the voluntary service, is the way that God manifests through His people. The spending the time, many of you took your vacation time, went to Mexico this summer to help our missionaries. Well, that's commendable. That's a different perspective. It wasn't a play trip. They worked hard. If you saw them cleaning the chairs and painting walls, and they went and labored on vacation time. Well, those are offerings, sacrifices of service that are pleasing to God because it flows from your heart because you love Jesus Christ. That's the best. That's the best stuff. I mean, those are things that we should give thanks to God for, mindful of this work of labor. And what I would like to do as a church body is to grow in this, to learn to understand, to look for it and appreciate it, and appreciate what God does through His people. And that's a neat thing. It's something that is the privilege of God's people. And in a very real sense, it's a glimpse, a brief manifestation of what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like. And I know we've got the future when Jesus Christ will return and reign, and we long for His coming when He might appear and take the throne of David and right the things that are wrong. And we look forward and we hope toward those things. But we really have the pleasure and the privilege as being called of God's people to manifest in miniature ways the kingdom of God and what it should look like by the way that we love one another and the way that we serve one another. So thank you again. But notice what it says there at the end of those verses. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. What you see when the Word is alive, when it is powerful, when it is active in God's people, when the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and when it becomes reality, is you see the kind of things that is manifested around our church, where people are serving without compulsion. We're not twisting arms. They come voluntarily, and they love and serve one another, and that's beautiful. And it's something to give thanks for. When you see people going out, like John and Alana, we want to pray for them. Alan and Lyle, they went important places with E3 Ministries to plant churches. Think about it. When you plant a church, that is if you go and evangelize somewhere, that's one thing. But if you plant a church, you've got a work that is continuing where people are growing in Jesus Christ. Well, that's powerful stuff. And so we have had many wonderful things, and we want to be grateful, thankful that God is working through His people in these ways, mindful of what great things God is able to do. I don't know if you caught the picture in our children's club this summer, but we had a picture of Hannah there holding this verse of Scripture that the kids were memorizing. And it said, "For with God, all things are possible." You know, those are the things that we need to remind ourselves of, Those are the things that in light of unfolding life and the everyday mundane things that happen to us, we want to mount up with those wings like eagles and remember that with God all things are possible. Remember what great things He is able to do in and through His people. So our work testifies of God's calling and just the things that have been manifested here is truth. Now, we said that all work was a voluntary offering. It's a manifestation of your love for the Lord and love for others. And it's a hope in eternal reward. Sometimes, you know, we just go through the labors, the Christian labors, but sometimes we need to sit back and reflect that God will reward. There's nothing that He has forgotten about as far as in plans for your future. God, when He called you, He planned everything and He equipped you perfectly for everything that He called you to. But not only did He do that, God doesn't miss anything. And the Scripture very clearly teaches us that He rewards. And so we have hope of reward and the proper reward that comes from our Lord. So our service, our life is given to one. You know, when we do things, we should look in terms and think in terms of, Lord, I long for one thing, to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the Scripture teaches us that the Lord has said, He has declared, and He told His disciples that there's not one thing that you gave up in service, in my ministry, that I will not repay you 100-fold both here and in the life to come. Now, those are truths from God's Word that we as God's people need to think about and live in light of as we go through our year. So as we face 2010, we want to remember these things and think in terms of, Lord, my service is to You. And it's an investment. It truly is. That's a good way to look at it, is that we're laying up treasures in heaven in God's service. And He has called us and commanded these things. We know that God has given the Great Commission, that we're to go and share the gospel. And so let's engage in it. Look for those opportunities and rejoice in the opportunity of the calling that God has given for His people. Look at number two. There are reasons that we're to remember this year with thanksgiving. And the second reason is that it is our duty. Okay. You can turn to the Psalms now and turn back to the Psalms. I'm going to kind of jump around there, but I want to give you Psalm 50, verse 14. If you want to turn to Psalm 50, you can. We'll be Psalm 50, verse 14. And that Psalm says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High God. Okay. It's interesting. I found it interesting to look and think from the psalmist's perspective here. But he's an Old Testament guy, and he is recognizing that there is an offering that's not necessarily brought to the temple, although they did have actual physical offerings that they brought that were called thanksgiving offerings, offerings of thanksgiving. But think in terms of the fact that we're to offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So there's a duty in giving God thanks. There's a recognition that everything has come from Him, that He has blessed us with the things that we're blessed with. How many of you chose what country you were born in? How many of you chose the intellectual ability or the look that you got to have? We didn't choose any of those things. God gave them to us. And He gave us exactly what He chose to give to each one. But it all comes from Him, our God and Creator. So we're to offer God back thanksgiving for His goodness to us. And we're to pay vows to the Most High. Now, have you ever, how many of you have ever made a vow to God? God, if you'll just get me through this, I'll serve you forever. And have you ever made some kind of statement like that in your life at one time or another? Well, there's a sense in which there's a natural recognition for us that things are kind of outside of our control, that maybe there's, God's up there and maybe he's in control a little bit. And so, God, please help. Oh, I'm in trouble here. And if you'll help me, I will serve you. But what the psalmist, the point that he's making here is that when we pay our vows, and what it means is a voluntary offering, when we acknowledge voluntarily to God, it's our due. It's what's due him. It's what is right. It's only the right thing. And often we think in those terms in a crooked kind of way. Well, God, if you'll do these things for me, if my life can somehow be under my control a little bit, I will praise you if you can help me get those things under my control. And then we forget about him when that takes place. But what we want to learn to do is pay our vows to the Most High God. Remember his goodness. Offer thanks to God and make it a habit in our lives. So it's our duty. Think of the Lord's goodness and provision. I often think of the children of Israel, and we need to kind of get down to the humanity of the time that they spent wandering in the wilderness. It was hot. They were tired. They were often hungry and thirsty. And God had displayed his greatness and power and was doing great things and was planning to do great things with them. But where was their focus as they were grumbling in the wilderness? Their focus was wrong, wasn't it? It was on their circumstances. It was on the how things felt at the moment. And we're just naturally that way. But what we need to do is to remember the greatness and the power of God. And to put our focus there, especially in times when things don't go right, when they're outside of our control, it reminds us that he is God and we're not. It reminds us that it is a time in all things to give thanks. It's not a natural thing to do. It is something that can only be done by people that have faith in God. When they look past hard times and say, God, you have said in all things give thanks. You have said that all things work together for good to those that love you and are called according to your purposes. And so, therefore, I'm going to give you thanks for these bad things that have happened to me. That's not natural. It can only happen when people have faith in Almighty God. But he's called us to such things. And so, take your hardships as opportunity. Again, it's so important to learn, and we have to learn the process. His Spirit is there, and it communicates that this is truth, right? I mean, you acknowledge that this is truth. But there's a process in sanctification that we work through where we have to grow in order to learn to do these things. But if we do, it makes the difference between whether we're crotchety, old, grumbly people or whether we trust in the Lord and we're looking to his goodness and seeing things from a different perspective. And only God can enable us to do that, his Holy Spirit. But it's what we're called to. So, therefore, let's put on and develop an attitude of thanksgiving. I want to encourage you, if you don't walk away with anything this morning, walk away with the challenge to develop a thankful heart before God this year. It's a time where we as God's people need to remember his goodness. Number three, it's an expression of worship that honors the Lord. Okay? Our chief aim in life, what we really are placed here for, is to glorify God. And if we forget that, we forget who we are. But if we're mindful and if we're constantly learning and growing in how to be thankful as God's people, then the Scripture says, and turn to verse 23 there in chapter 50, Psalm 50, verse 23, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. That's what we want to do. That's what it was my prayer that this service this morning, that we would honor God. And I hope that in your heart and with the words that you speak to one another, that you have honored Him today with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. God is good. And to make the expression of His goodness, to communicate that to one another, to communicate that in worship, is a wonderful privilege and a thing that we're called to. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I will show him the salvation of God. We'll know his goodness. We'll know his deliverance when, as thankful people, we go before and in our calling with praise, acknowledging that God, whatever challenge is in January or in this next upcoming year, God has set it there that it might be not an obstacle but an opportunity that we might praise and honor Him through thanksgiving. And so the purpose of our calling then is to glorify God. We're to learn to meditate upon Him. Turn over to Psalm 107. It's one of my favorite psalms. My testimony is in this psalm, so if you want to read about Jim Davis, you can read in verses 10 through 16 or 17 through 22. That's me. But there's a resounding chorus here in this particular psalm, and it is in verse 8 there, and it's repeated four times in this particular psalm. But it keeps going back to this refrain: let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. Or the King James Version would say wonderful works. It's basically the same idea. But it's an acknowledgement. There are two things there in that verse. There is the acknowledgement of the Lord's loving kindness. And then there's the acknowledgement and thanksgiving for His wonderful works. Okay, well, His loving kindness, and there's a reflection and an offering of thanksgiving, verbal thanks or praise to God because of His character there, and also for His wonderful works would include His deeds. That means the things that He does for you. So it's good for us to learn to not only thank God for what He does for us, His works, but as we grow, and as we grow in knowledge of God, and as we grow in our relationship with God, just like a little child, we just went through Christmas here, they begin to learn to appreciate, or should begin to learn to appreciate, the giver of that gift. And so the earlier part of that, I think, has to do with His loving kindness. There's a reflection there upon His character, upon the character and person of God, the attributes, those characteristics that flow from Him. And God wants for those same characteristics to be in His people. And what happens is, as we reflect upon those truths and that reality, there's a transformation that truly takes place in the lives of His people. We begin to act like Him. We begin to look like Him. We begin to work deeds after Him. You remember the Pharisees asked the Lord, how do you work the works of God? They wanted to know, well, how do you work the works of God? Well, Jesus told them, believe on Him whom He has sent. And so in trusting in Christ, there is a transformation because He has called us to be conformed to His image. And then, let's see. Let me find my place right here, right quickly. Psalm 26:7, and you don't have to turn there. I just want to read that for you. That I might proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. Psalm 26:7, a beautiful verse. We put it up here this morning. That I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. Psalm 26:7. So it is an expression of worship that honors the Lord. It's number three. It honors the Lord when we express worship and thanksgiving to Him. So thanksgiving is an expression of worship, but it also, in number four, accompanies other forms of worship. Okay? Psalm 107:22 says, "Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing." Notice that there's a connection there between thanksgiving and joyful singing about God's works. So we sang this morning hymns and things to encourage one another. And those are, they're given. They're designed to cause us to reflect upon the Lord's goodness, to joyfully sing of our great God, eternal God, unchanging, mysterious and unknown. We can know Him. And that's a beautiful thing. We sing, "We are weak and helpless in the storm. Surround us with your angels and hold us in your arms. Our cold and ruthless enemy, his pleasure is our harm. Rise up, O God, and he will flee before our sovereign God." That's awesome. I mean, those are things that we can sing about and think and speak his praises. That's worship. And we want to do that. We want it to be characteristic. So it's accompanied by singing. Psalm 95:2 said, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and let us shout joyfully to him with psalms." And in Hebrews 13:15 is a verse that we often use, and sometimes it's quoted here at church.